Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So I have in my hand, I've kept this all these years. This is a piece of paper from 1999, almost 20 years ago. It was when Marg was working at the church with our former rector, Father Mike, and he wrote a piece called Rectory Reflections in our newsletter at the time. And this piece, he felt, was better than anything that he could write. And so he put it in the carpenter, as we called it. And I'd like to tell you this story that was in there in my own words. His name was Bill. He had wild hair, went all over the place. He wore a t-shirt with holes in it, tattered jeans, and he was barefoot. And that's how he dressed all the time. And he was brilliant. He was a senior in high school at a college that was across the street from a very conservative, very well-to-do, very well-dressed church. And that church was trying to do outreach to the young people that went to college across the street, but they had no clue how to do that. So they put up a couple flyers inviting them to come to church, and Bill figured he'd check it out one day. He walked across the street. The church service had already begun, so he walked in the door. The ushers were busy. They didn't notice him, and he was dressed the way he always dresses, hair disheveled, t-shirt with holes, tattered jeans, no shoes. And he walked in the door, and he figured he would try to be kind of unobtrusive, and he walked down the side aisle very carefully. Well, the place was packed. And by this time, people in the pews had started to notice him, the well-dressed that they were, and kind of nudging each other and pointing. Well, he quietly made his way down the side aisle. Nobody was moving over to give him a seat, even though it was still very crowded. They could have. And so as he made his way closer and closer and closer, he figured that he would just sit down on the carpeting in the front, and that's exactly what he did. Out of the way, just sat down on the floor. Well, the priest, by this time, noticed that the head usher had come into the church and was making his way down the side aisle. Now, the head usher was in his 80s, very dapper, godly man, very dignified, silver-gray hair, three-piece suit, walked with a cane, and he was walking down the side aisle slowly, slowly, slowly. And everybody there was realizing that there's no way this man could understand why this boy was doing what he was doing, and that they didn't blame him for what he was about to do. And they all watched, and some were glad that the head usher was getting involved. So by the time he made his way up to the front and everybody was watching, the usher kind of let his cane drop to the floor and with a lot of emphasis and a lot of trouble lowered himself to the floor and sat next to Bill so he wouldn't have to worship alone. Well, the priest, by this time it was time for the sermon, and the priest got up in the pulpit and said, "What I'm about to preach to you, you will never remember. What you just witnessed, you will never forget. Be careful how you live," he said. "Be careful how you judge. You may be the only Bible someone ever reads." I love that story. I loved it for today because just like the young man in our story, Jesus was this radical, wild guy, getting in trouble all the time. And here he is at a dinner party at the leader of one of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees, if we could see slide one there, they were kind of awesome, imposing characters. This is what they kind of looked like. This is actually Pharisees and Sadducees, as they're called. They were a sect of the Jewish tradition that really kept the law in order. And this is who he was at dinner with, right? This ragtag Jesus, this radical guy. And they probably invited him so that they could keep an eye on him, Because as you remember in the text, it said that they were watching him. They were probably trying to trip him up to see what he would do because he'd been getting in trouble, as you heard in last week's gospel. And in a couple of weeks ago, he had been getting in trouble because he was working on the Sabbath day, at least what they thought was work. You remember, right? Feeding the hungry, healing the sick. How dare he on God's day, right? That's what they thought. These people were supposed to come back the next week, not bother him on that day. Come back the next day, I mean. So they were watching him carefully, mainly because they were jealous. They wanted to be the ones that were honored and revered, and they were noticing that Jesus was the one who was being honored and revered, and that he was gaining popularity, but he didn't want that. And they did. That was the main difference between them, because Jesus was truly humble in every sense of that word, all humility. He welcomed everyone, and he was a blessing everywhere he went. And that's what he was trying to teach the people at this dinner, trying to teach us how we are also to be, to have humility, radical hospitality in welcoming all, to be a blessing to others. Now imagine if Jesus had asked the Pharisees if they were humble, they would have said, oh yeah, we're humble. Or if he were to ask any one of us, we might say that too. I'm awesome at being humble. Jesus is asking the Pharisees and teaching all of us to check our intention. Why do we do what we do? Do we say things just to be heard? Do we go through the motions, go to places just to be seen? Do we sit with only those people we want to sit with? The place of honor, like we heard about in the gospel. I remember when I was serving at my church up in D.C. before I moved back here, and it was one of my last Sundays, and I had been meeting and greeting in the back of the church after the service, and they had their coffee hour, like most services, after the service. We have ours before, but it was after. So by the time I got over to the parish hall, all the tables were full and all the chairs were full, and I could see that my friends, my colleagues, and some dignitaries that happened to be there, this was in D.C., major dignitaries were there, and I really wanted to go and sit with them. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this table with a man and a son sitting there. He was probably around 20, the son. And there was an empty chair at that table. And I thought, you know, but something nudged me. Not necessarily obligation, maybe a little bit if I'm honest, but something nudged me to go sit at that table. Well, it was their first Sunday at our church, and the man had just lost his wife recently. The son had just lost his mother, and they began to tell me about her. I was able to share some of the loss that I had after my daughter died. We were really sharing deeply and authentically in all humility, and I was humbled that day, because that wasn't my original intention, but I was humbled that day. Whenever our attitudes place us above anybody else, or we think we really can judge others, the teachings for today, the teachings of Jesus Christ, can bring us back to center to see with the eyes of God, because we can, but it takes practice to allow ourselves to be humble, allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And sometimes that's having the courage to share our own challenges with a trusted someone, not to always have to have it all together all the time, to be real, basically. There's a quote here from singer and musician Lisa Ganghor that says, "Honesty and truth-telling are vital because they help us heal, help us connect, make us human instead of masked pretenders. One person's honest story can be the medicine for another." I've found that to be true in my life. I hope you have. I felt humbled again this week when I was given the writings of two local high school students sent to me by their teacher, who's a member here, who shall remain nameless because I didn't ask for permission. But she shared them with me and told me that I could share them with you. And she was starting out the school year and asked them to complete the exercise that said, people like me, and then fill in the blank in two ways. First of all, was to be people like me, the way that things were to them in their consciousness on that day. And then people like me in the way they wanted to be seen or knew they could be. So let's see these. So one wrote, people like me always have problems with boys in blue. People like me want to become the boy in blue. I think he was writing man. I want to read that one again. Go back to that one more time, Sherry. People like me, now this is a high school kid, people like me always have problems with boys in blue. People like me want to become the boy in blue. Found out later, he wants to be a policeman. Next one. People like me can't do anything but cut grass. People like me become lawyers and can have businesses. This week, high school right here. And this teacher is a blessing to those children and does so humbly. That's the humility that Jesus is talking about. That's the blessing Jesus is talking about that we are to be for one another. I thank her for sharing those. It is a humble blessing that Jesus gives us today. Our being humble is not about putting ourselves down or refusing to receive blessing from others. Our being humble is allowing the Holy Spirit to have the power in our lives, to allow God to run our lives. Our being humble is allowing ourselves to both be a blessing and to receive a blessing and to celebrate those blessings that are all around us all the time. Our being a humble blessing. So we can ask ourselves, how do we give? And how do we receive that blessing? Maybe we're elderly. Maybe we feel like we're too young. Or maybe we're sick, going through our own problems. Well, let's take somebody who's sick. They need to be able to be welcoming the help that they need to get better. A thank you in return, a smile, is being a blessing to that nurse or the doctor or the one that's trying to help you. Receiving that help is being a blessing. A simple thank you, a smile for somebody that you see that doesn't have one of their own, you can give them one of yours, makes a difference. And they'll smile back usually. We wait for somebody else to smile at us. Well, why? We can give away what we want to receive. You'll see the blessings when you start being a blessing. You'll see it. I promise. And that last part, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. This banquet idea throughout the Gospel of Luke and throughout the New Testament is a symbol for God's kingdom where all are welcome. And yeah, we're supposed to do what we can to help the sick and the poor and the lamed and the outcast. We are. And that's a real challenge. I told you, Jesus is radical. Radical. And so I invite all of you to invite somebody to this service for next week and the weeks after. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to invite someone. I invited somebody that's here today, last week, that I wasn't sure if they would come or not. And I'm really glad they did. We can be a blessing to one another. When we gather in this way every week, we rub shoulders with people that we don't normally hang out with, right? The rich and the poor, the gay and the straight, the downcast and the joyful. We all come to this table. This is what is representative of the banquet that we heard about at the end of the gospel. That's why we do it every single week. And when you put your hand out to receive communion, you are consuming the way of being in the world and carrying it out with you. That's what this is all about, the banquet talked about in today's gospel, and all are welcome. May we be a blessing. And may we receive a blessing this day. Amen.